John Deere residential lawn tractors up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Brian, we have an interesting set of shows coming up for our listeners in the next 5 months.
That's right.
An episode each month. We're calling it the John Deere series. John Deere kindly provided us with a couple of tractors, and they did this last year a few weeks. They gave us a tractor. This year, they gave us a tractor to work on over the whole season.
That's right.
In fact, we can work on it the rest of our lives if we so choose.
Right.
But we want to talk about a riding mower, because every handy guy needs a riding mower, right, Brian?
You need it if you've got a lawn that's big enough to justify it, sure.
And if you go to John Deere's site, or you go to a John Deere dealer, or you go to even a local big box store, it is a daunting task to pick out the right lawnmower, the riding mower for your lawn, because they all kind of look alike.
That's right.
Even though there may be many differences.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences that are not so obvious sometimes. And so what we're going to do in this first show of the that we're doing for John Deere is kind of talk about some of those differences and the benefits you get from some of those things, and you know, help you determine what's important to you when you're picking out a lawn tractor. And you know, do you really need the entry level, or do you want to go whole hog and get the big diesel Mac Daddy tractor?
Right. Yeah, so we'll talk about that and go through a little bit of the residential mower lines. How do you find the right fit? Talk about some of the differences. We'll do that after we provide our contact information.
Yeehaw! Okay, you can always just contact us via our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. And on there, you'll see a link for the contact us. That's if you have a question about tractors or any other topic, really, that you'd like us to cover in a future show. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Don't forget to check out our videos.
Yeah, check out our videos. You'll see those featured there on the homepage. Sign up for our email list. We're going to start doing more with that down the road. And if you've got an iPod or some other media player, you can subscribe to our videos on there, or just our audio shows, or both of them if you'd like.
All right.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Okay, Brian, so I'm a residential consumer, and do you know, a little bit about the John Deere line? You know, for most for most residential consumers that have suburban or ex-suburban or whatever they call it now, you have a lawn that's bigger than a half acre. You're looking at a riding mower, and there's the entry-level series of John Deere riding mowers.
Right. They call them the LA series.
Right, or the 100 series.
Or the 100 series, yeah.
And then if you go to the next level, there's the X300 or the Select series.
The Select series, right.
Do you know the difference? You know, why, Brian, do you think you might go from 100 to 300? What do you think the difference is?
It's 200 more.
200 more?
Yeah.
200, that's right, from 100 to 300.
It's 200 more.
That's right, but it's a lot more than $200 more, I'll tell you that. But
you meant in features.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think just off the top of your head? What's going to be the big difference if you go from the entry-level 100 series of lawn tractor to 300 Select series?
I'm always an advocate of you get what you pay for.
Right, so what do you think? Just off the top of your head. Come
off the top of my head, it's going to be
knee-jerk reaction here.
Bigger tractor.
Bigger, okay. Anything else? So it's going to be size-wise bigger? Or what else
It's going to be heavier duty.
Heavier duty? Anything else bigger on the tractor?
It's going to perform better.
Is it going to have anything else that's bigger, or just the size of the tractor?
It's probably going to have a wider cut.
Okay.
It's probably going to have a bigger engine.
Okay. All right. And that makes sense. So you think going 100 to 300, you know, get it bigger. Guess what if I tell you that the engine size on a lot of them are identical to the 100 series, from the 300 to 100?
Identical size displacement or identical engines?
Displacement and size. Not talking about brand of engine or anything else. Horsepower.
For all horsepower, they're the same.
Yeah. They're pretty similar. What if I were to tell you is the size of the tractor, for the most part, over the line is very similar From 300 to 100.
As far as the width of the wheelbase and the front to back dimensions and that kind of stuff.
And what if I were to tell you that in a lot of the models, the cut is almost identical, the width of the cut.
Right. Well, I know in all of their lines, you can get this, a narrower cut and
they have
a wider
different sizes.
Cut, 44, 48, 54-inch cuts, whatever.
What amazed me, Brian, is last year we had the opportunity to try out a 300, X300 Select Series 324?
The 324, right.
Great a mower, and I thought, this is really nice, but I want to see what's the big difference between this and the 100 series.
Right.
And I went and looked just simply at a few things. I looked at the horsepower, and I saw the 100 series had the similar horsepower. I looked at how fast it mowed. I saw that they both went 5.5 miles per hour.
Right, right.
And I thought, I looked at the width of the cut. I saw that the 24 had a bigger, wider cut than some of the 100 series.
Right.
But not all. And I don't think all. I forget. But it was similar. And I thought, that's strange. I would have thought that the 100 series would be slower, have a smaller engine.
Well, it does have a little bit of a smaller
engine.
That
was not
the case. 19.5 horsepower versus 22.
Well, you're looking at the X24.
I'm looking at two different. I'm looking at the X24 versus the LA115.
Right. If you go into the LA series, the 100, and you will see that you have some models that also have 22 horsepower, 24 horsepower, 26 horsepower.
Okay.
So I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? I can find some mowers in each line, but as I started researching it and studying it a little bit further, I realized that there is some nuance. There's some differences that are significant, and there's a reason why the 300 series cost significantly more than the 100 series. So that's what I want to talk about in the first part of this podcast is, first of all, how do you size the mower for your lawn? And
how do you narrow it down?
Because
you're looking just between the 300 series and the 100 series, you're looking at what?
A couple dozen specifications.
You're looking at a dozen models, right?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 14 different models.
So you have the entry level series, the 100, which is what we're trying out right now, the LA115, and then the X300 series. They all have 6 or 7 models within the series. So there's differences within the series. But let's just highlight, someone is considering a 100, the entry level, or they're thinking maybe I'll take the next step. Let's talk about what are the major differences. Why does it cost a lot more money or somewhat more money to go to 300? And we said the engine sizes are the same, but what are the differences in the engines?
Well, they're going to be different brands of engines, right? So in the 100 series, you're typically going to find the Briggs & Stratton engines versus a Kawasaki engine with a twin cylinder. So it's going to be a presumably better-built, longer-lasting engine.
And in a 300 series, they only have the Kawasaki engines in twin cylinders. They don't have a single-cylinder engine in there.
Right.
In the 100 entry-level series, you can find some of the models with a single cylinder engine, which we have on our LA115.
Right.
It still has the horsepower.
19.2 horse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it still has good horsepower, and I've found good power. It's getting up my hills no problem, but do you know what the difference is between a single, what are the major advantages of having a twin versus a single cylinder?
Two spark plugs.
Yeah. Well, but if it's a single cylinder with a lot of displacement, you can actually get as much power.
Right, so it's a bigger single cylinder versus two smaller ones, right?
But there is some advantage to still having those two cylinders. And I'm not an engine expert. I read this somewhere, so you can maybe you can
help
tell me
out
if you heard wrong. What I've heard is when you have the two cylinders versus one, you get less vibration because you have the two moving against each other opposite. Whereas if you have a single cylinder, the whole mower vibrates a little more.
Hmm. We didn't get the opportunity to drive the 100 series right next to the 300 series. So we've got,
But I did notice that, Brian, because I drove. Remember, you had the zero-turn radius model last year, and I had the lawn tractor.
We both drove them.
Right. But I had the opportunity to drive the lawn tractor much longer than you because I had it.
We didn't spend hours on them, but, so remember.
I will tell you that if my memory serves me correct, I have noticed that there is a lot more there is more vibration. It's not terrible, but there is more vibration on the 100 series with the single cylinder. versus the V-twin Kawasaki. Just something to consider. These are the sorts of differences you're going to face when you look at, you know, the different levels. And you
sure,
you know, so it's, there's some nuance here. It's not black and white differences. There's just some,
right.
So
one difference that I noticed, and it's just a little nitpicky thing.
Brian, you are so nitpicky.
I am nitpicky, but the 115 that we're evaluating right now does not have cruise control.
Cruise control? What are you getting? Taking this thing out in the highway or something?
Does not have cruise control. Whereas the ones we looked at last year had cruise control, right?
You're dragging it down in Front Street or something?
That's just a little annoyance. You know, I've got another tractor, you know, that's like 14 years old, right? And that thing has cruise control. Now, mind you, it only cruise controls at about
2 miles an hour.
1.5 miles an hour. But, you know, when it was new, it probably worked as a cruise control.
That's funny. It's interesting you say that. I have not thought of that at all. But you know what? You've been mowing a larger field behind your house. I've been doing a half-acre lawn. And it never occurred to me that I would need that feature because there's hardly an amount of time I go on a straight line before I got to turn or do something.
Right, and I don't know how many acres that is behind me. I've never measured it out, and maybe I ought to do that.
It's got to be, I would say, a couple acres. Good, yeah. But it's, you have a long, it's like a rectangle, so you have a lot of long.
Right, and so, yeah, cruising down there, yeah, it takes me about 2.5 hours or so.
At least the part you mow is a couple acres.
Yeah.
But so you're saying
it takes 2.5 hours to mow it. So I'm sitting on the tractor for 2.5 hours and I'm holding that in, and most of the time I'm going straight.
So that's a good point. So there, you can get cruise control in both the 100 series and the 300.
Right.
But if you're looking at long runs where you're going in straight lines, that's something seriously you should consider because you're going to get tired from holding down the pedal.
Yep. Now, one of the things I thought might be an issue, but has not been, is the size of the gas tank.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, on the 300 series, that's another, again, a slight difference, but it's somewhat significant. They're all over 3 gallons. What, 3.3 or something on the 300 series?
Yeah, something like that.
They all have the same size. Where on the 100 series, they're what, 2.1 or something like that on some of the models.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even highlight it. I just remember that it was a little bit smaller. Yeah.
2.1 on ours. So the LA115 that we're working on now, 2.1 gallons. You can get the 100 model series. Actually, they have 4 gallon models, everything above it. Okay. So, you know, again, it's not obvious it would go in between 100 and 300.
But, you know, if I'm mowing 4 acres, you know, or whatever it is, 3 acres, I'm going to measure it.
You don't want to run out when you're an acre away from your house.
No, you don't. But it takes me 2.5 hours to mow it, and I still got gas left over.
Yeah, I've been fine.
So I'm not running out on a tank of gas. So I fill it up before I go. And it's good. I still have gas in it when I'm done.
I think I've mowed 3 times and I have about a half acre and I still have.
How many hours have you put on the machine? Have you noticed?
I've put only an hour and a half.
Okay. See, I'm up to 8.
Wow. Because you've done that field.
Yeah. I've done that field 3 times.
And
2 or 3 times.
So that's interesting. So
2 times.
But if you have a regular yard, you have this field of common area behind your house.
Right.
But if you have more typical, I have almost a half acre because I have my yard plus a little bit at common area that I mow, and it's taken my mowing from a push mower, and it wasn't a powered push mower or anything, a regular push mower, from about an hour and a half down to about a half an hour of mowing.
Nice.
So
there you go.
And the thing does move between the 300 and this, a little more vibration, but it's still just as, it's getting up the hills, no problem. I have hills on my side yards. It's moving, no problem.
What's the biggest difference, would you say? You asked me that question, you know, what's your first thought as the biggest difference? But what's the biggest operational difference between like the LA115, which we're evaluating right now, and the X324, which we had our hands on for a while last summer?
You know what? I'm going to think about that, and I'll give you my answer after this.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, the biggest difference, in my opinion, I sat on an X324 Select Series and this LA 115 100 series. Yep. They both move through my grass, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
That particular 324 had a little bit wider cut, but otherwise they both cut similarly.
Mm-hmm.
The LA 115, the entry level, does a great cut, by the way.
Yeah,
awesome
it
cut.
Does, nice it does a level. Very nice cut.
Very nice cut. For me, mm-hmm. in my front yard, which is relatively small,
mm-hmm.
getting around obstacles, the 324 with its four-wheel turn capability, and also they have it on the low. You don't have to go to 324. You can go, there's another, was it 305, I want to say.
Another one has that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the feature I was thinking of,
that,
Paul.
That four-wheel turn had
four-wheel steering.
Yeah, it was at a 9-inch cut radius. So, Brian, out back under my deck,
yes.
I have a deck that comes out of
the uncut circle radius, they call it, is 9 inches on that model.
I have a deck with, 6x6s, I guess, supporting it.
Yeah.
And I could actually go around those 6x6s and basically just get them perfectly. I mean, right. Obviously, there's a little bit, but...
Right, so you're doing very little with the string trimmer.
But I was be able to go swing right around. I could care less about the swing trimmer. I got it so close
that
I didn't care. Whereas this one, I can do the same thing, but I have to kind of go back and forth and kind of weave in and out and take a couple runs at it.
Right, the 115 uncut circle radius is 25 inches.
Yeah, so there's a big difference. And that is something, if you have a lot of obstacles, man, that four-wheel turn radius is sweet. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And I talked to a dealer about that, Brian, because, you know, I'm a little paranoid about certain things. You get, mm-hmm. you know how you get all these extra features in cars, say, and what happens?
And you're worried that they're going to break, right?
You get the power windows. What happens when they break? You have a $500 bill, right?
Yeah.
Well, I asked the dealer about that four-wheel turning radius just because I don't know that much about the way the axles work and the transmissions and everything. And he said, no, we don't see any problems. I asked him if they see problems with that mm-hmm. and he said, no, we don't really see anything. And I looked at them, and they look like they're really built well. So that's just a difference. You know, these are the kind of things that are different.
Right.
The Kawasaki engine we talked about, it's considered a superior engine. You got other things like four-wheel turn rate. You don't get that, the small turning radius.
Well, you mentioned talking to the dealer, mm-hmm. and I think that's – going to outline another difference around here anyway.
Yep.
Is you're going to find that the Select Series or the 300 Series at a John Deere dealer versus the 100 Series, you're going to see those at the home center.
Exactly. So I don't, when I go to my home center, there are only 100 Series mowers.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed as well. And, you know, they're going to have other brands and stuff there too, but, you know, you go to the John Deere dealer and they're going to be able to. They may stock some of the 100 series as well, but they're going to have the 700 series, the 500 series, the 300 series.
They're going to have huge tractors that are
and they'll have
the farm
the combine harvester and the whatever else, right? depending where you live. So
I don't think my wife would be too happy if I brought one of those home.
No.
Wouldn't fit in the garage.
Right. But you may be able to try them out or at least sit on them, depending on how your dealer is set up, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to help you narrow down the differences between them.
Right.
Now, the other thing, what's the other way you can help narrow down your search for these tractors?
Right.
Paul?
So if you want to order one of these tractors, you can go to your big box store, you can go to your dealer, or in addition to, I should say, it's helpful to go to John Deere's website. They have a little selection tool.
Yeah, that selection tool, I was surprised about how kind of innovative it was. I mean, you say, okay, how big is your yard? You know, what are the other criteria on there, Paul?
Well, it asks you, you know, do you have hills? Do you have small slopes or challenging slopes? Are you going to use any kind of snow removal utility on it? Are you going to look to try to haul things or tow things? Or are you going to use grading tools? And then you select all those different things, whether it's gas or diesel, and it gives you suggestions.
Right. And what's our friend on that one internet forum? What's he always say?
Well, we have there's a forum out there if you're really searching this stuff. And his motto is, you know, size it for your lawn and then get one bigger.
That's right. So
I don't know if that's always the right case. Right. I think you right size it, but you know, you can ever, if you can afford it, yeah, it doesn't hurt to go a little bigger.
That's right. If you got a place to store it.
Right. So, and bigger doesn't necessarily mean bigger in size, you know, physically. It might just mean a more powerful engine or heavier hardware, heavier duty transmission.
Well, the other thing to consider with these, Paul, is how you're going to move it around, perhaps.
It is a good point.
Because if you need to have service, right?
Yeah. That's why I like dealing with a John Deere dealer.
That's right.
Personally, because I know that we've dealt with our local dealer. They'll deliver it when they say they're going to deliver it, and they'll pick it up when they say they're going to pick it up. I think they even offer a service where they'll come service it on site.
Right, they'll do your oil change and blade sharpening, out of the back of the truck, right.
Yeah. So, and we're going to talk about maintenance in a later podcast.
Absolutely.
But,
yes.
If you want the whole nine yards, if you don't want to do it yourself, you can have them maintain it
for
you.
Right. Now, you know, your home center are typically going to be hooked up with one of those dealers. So if you do get it from Lowe's and you want it, or Home Depot or whoever, right, you're going to have a local dealer kind of attached to that mower anyway.
Right. So either way, you're going to need to consider how you're going to get it delivered.
That's right.
And making sure that you can find someone that, you know, will pick it up if you need service.
That's right.
Okay. So that's where you can order it. That's where you can buy it. Go to your home center for 100 series or your John Deere dealer for 100 or above. But up next, I want to talk about, there's another whole issue here, Brian, to buying a lawn tractor.
What issue is that, Paul?
Sometimes you want some cool accessories.
Yes. And well, some of those accessories may drive the decision as to what tractor to get.
That's right. We'll talk about that after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
So, Brian, when I was looking to get a lawn tractor, one of my interests was in the appropriate accessories for the tractor because, if you get this nice tool, I know it mows the lawn. But it can do other things.
It can do a lot of other things, right? And there's a wide variety of attachments, from lawn care stuff. You've got snow blower attachments. You've got blade attachments. You've got, seeders and spreaders and aerators and, you know,
but I had my mind
holes in your grass and whatever.
Yeah, that's what I had my mind on, some specific accessories. It's true. I wanted specifically an aerator.
That's right.
Because I live in a new development, and the developers around here are, let's just say, they're unkind to the homeowners. They often will take.
They're not unkind. They're in business to make a buck.
Okay.
And so
they're unkind.
By putting a half an inch of topsoil down on top of clay.
Yeah.
It saves them a couple of bucks. Right?
You know, it's more than that. They actually sell off the topsoil. When they regrade the whole area, they take the topsoil and sell it.
And
so
then
the point is, I'm in a development, and you probably are similar, where the ground is basically hard clay.
And, well, I got rocks too.
that too. I want to take my this aerator, and I want to aerate my lawn, and I want to maybe consider adding some compost to the clay and helping it, adding nutrients to the soil and helping my grass to grow.
Yeah.
So maybe even a little bit of sand mixed in, and hopefully someday actually have some topsoil.
Right. Well, I mean, your lawn looks pretty good, and mine looks pretty good most of the time too. But that's an important consideration, is to say, what kind of accessories do you think you might want, and then what kind of tractor will support them? Because not every tractor will support every accessory, right? You're not going to be able to put a front end loader attachment on a LA-115.
Right.
Right. And expect to be digging, holes or shoveling gravel, right?
If you're going
to
look,
it doesn't exist.
That's right. If you want something like that, you need to go above the X300 series, even to 5 or 7.
Right. And there are some bucket kind of things, but they're very small. But then you're in the compact utility tractors, which maybe we'll talk about those next year.
That's a whole separate class. For most typical residential type folks, you're going to be able to find something in the 100 or 300.
Right. And what John Deere does is they'll say, okay, if this is the model that you've narrowed it down to, here are the accessories. that this model will support, and they got pictures of them, and you can look at them and so forth. Or you can go the other way around. You can say, okay, I really want the XYZ accessory. What models can I put that on? If it's a toe-behind kind of accessory, that'll work on most all of these. But, Paul, I wanted to I've got a garden cart, right? You know, a toe-behind cart. And it's all rusted. It's a piece of, you know, it's in really bad shape. And I use that when I'm at the campground for hauling around, you know, sometimes firewood, but often things like, you know, chainsaws and trimmers and, you know, gas and extra blades. And, you know, it's full of stuff, right? And I haul that back in, you know, where I'm working on the property or something like that. And I thought, oh, a bigger cart would be nice. I'd like to see that. So I talked to the dealer, and he's, you know, I said, oh, I'd like to consider the model 17P cart for the LA-115 tractor. And he says, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I said, why not? He goes, well, the temptation is going to be to fill that cart up with stuff.
Oh.
And that's a big cart.
Right.
And it's—
it's not sized appropriately.
It's not sized appropriately for that tractor. So
if it was mulch or something light, maybe?
Maybe if it was mulch or something light, but
even that can get a little heavy.
Yeah, it sure can. So he said your better bet is going to be the 10P cart with that particular tractor. So that's something to keep in mind. If you want the really big cart, you're going to get a bigger tractor.
What about a box of 10P nails in that 10P cart?
10D nails, Paul, not P. And why do they call 10D nails 10 penny nails anyway?
I don't know.
It's a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of confusing. All right. So you can look at – there's the accessories. They have pretty much the same accessories for the 100 series and the 300 series. But make sure you talk to your dealer about what accessories you want, and they'll help you then. That's another factor in helping you to size the mower.
That's right.
The lawn tractor.
That's right.
Appropriately.
That's right. And the last accessory, you got to get it. If you're going to do your own maintenance, they've got a little starter kit, home maintenance starter kit.
Oh,
that's got
yes.
the spark plugs and the filters and instructions right. and all of that. And we're going to actually go through that, and we may do that on video. You know, what's your basic tune-up kind of stuff going to look like? And we'll show you how to do it on the 115 series.
Right. So you have to maintain this tractor just like you would your car. But
that's right.
They have some tools available to make it very easy. So even if right. you don't change your oil in your car, you can get the kit to make it fairly easy to change your oil on
well,
your tractor.
It's yet to be seen. We haven't done
yeah.
it yet. But
we're going to do it, and we're going to show it. And in addition, I hope to do a quick video on the basic controls of the LA-115.
Sans cruise control. No cruise control.
Yeah, right. It doesn't have the cruise control. Sorry, Brian. But the thing does haul. It moves. I fly through my lawn. So there you have it. If you have a big lawn, if you have open space that's and it's not really huge, you can use the 100 series, and you might want to
sure.
consider cruise control, the model with cruise control, if you have long areas that you need to mow. But it does work great.
Yeah, and so use the selector on John Deere's website.
Yeah.
We'll have a link to that in the show notes, and you can check that out and see where that guides you. You know, you can play around with the different criteria. You can exaggerate on the size of your lawn. You
right.
can, you know, whatever.
And if you have lots of obstacles, seriously consider the four-wheel turning. And there's one other point we didn't mention, Brian.
Oh, dang it. What was that?
The seat.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't notice it. You noticed it. I didn't notice it. What's the deal with the seat, Paul?
On some of the 100 series models, on some of the entry-level models, and we didn't even talk about the very first entry-level model of the 100 series, which actually has manual transmission, which I would generally not advise you to use. If you like manual transmission, yes, John Deere does make a model, but everything above the LA-105
has the hydrostatic
transmission. Hydrostatic or automatic
which
transmission.
Which means you press on the pedal and it goes faster or slower depending on how much you press.
Right. I call it auto-trans.
Okay.
But yeah, it's hydrostatic. So, but on some of the 100 series, they have a smaller seat, smaller back, not quite as comfortable as that X324 we rode last year. So that's something you want to sit on the model, try it out, and there actually is a difference. Now, I have heard of people who get the entry-level series models, maybe an LA-115, and actually get a seat, a bigger seat.
They order the bigger seat for it, huh?
I'm sure you can do that. John Deere is very happy to help you out and get a bigger seat if that's what you want. So those are, you know, just little things to consider, but they do make a difference.
Right.
So the turning radius, the seat, the two cylinders versus one. Those are some of the areas you want to look at when evaluating what model makes sense for you.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode of the John Deere. This is the June John Deere episode. We'll be back in July with another episode. We're going to talk about initial setup and first-time mowing. What do you consider when you want to mow your yard with a riding mower as opposed
to a push
mower?
That's right. You know, how do you do those turns and, you know, make it so it all looks right without driving over the same spot 97 times, right?
Absolutely.
We've got some techniques there, too, to talk about.
All right. That'll be next month. Otherwise, we will be back next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right. Thanks.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time. Same handy website.
John Deere has provided the Handy Guys with the products mentioned in this podcast, namely the LA-115 series of lawn tractors and associated accessories. However, the opinions of the Handy Guys are entirely our own, and we have not been paid to make positive comments.